Hi, everyone. Welcome to the big show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet, and here I am with awesome people yet again. It's the best part of being on shows on the British Tech Network. It's the people I get to hang out with. And so two incredibly awesome people. Patrice, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I had a all over the place week. I finally got a little bit more sleep last night, so mm-hmm. yay. And yeah, I hung out with some student pilots yesterday, which was also cool. We met up for cool. dinner here in Vienna. That was fun. I can tell something to the ladies if you're into men. Like, I'm not, so I don't care. But if you're into that and you're single and you want to meet men that are smart, that are driven, that are usually somewhat well off, get a pilot license. Because it's so many men. Like, it's all men, basically. Just say. Yeah, anyway, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy and everything.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And that sounds like excellent advice for, you know, how about if I expand it out and say that's excellent advice for anyone who's interested in men?
Mm-hmm. In general,
go get your pilot's license, and you have a target-rich environment.
That's true. That is true. It's actually true. Yeah, anybody who's into men. Yeah, that's true. It's not just for the ladies. I was just thinking about that. Yes.
Awesome. Well, speaking of men, and a target-rich environment.
Ian,
how are you?
And Ian is like, what the hell?
What the hell? That's the intro I've never had before. I'm very well, thank you. I'm back home from my brief visit to Vegas and our event there, and that was a whole world of fun and AI. And now I'm home, back in the UK, and I seem to have managed to, fingers crossed, beaten the jet lag bug.
Oh, nice.
Which was quite nice, because I randomly didn't go to, I went to bed early-ish and got up around 3, 4 a.m. And that seemed not to let my body clock slip too far into the eight-hour shift. So when I got home, I was dead tired because I was 24 hours traveling kind of thing. But once I've been back, I haven't been too bad. A couple of my colleagues are dead men walking. But I seem to be all right. And daft thing was, at 4 a.m. I went for a run in Vegas from my hotel down the strip and back again. And it's broad daylight. It isn't dark. It's 4 a.m. and it isn't dark. Mm-hmm. The lights are still on. The sphere has got the moon plastered all over it. It looks quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
Had a run. I came back again. That was all good. There was no one on the streets, but from guys making the place look clean and tidy.
So if you were running down the street in Vegas at 4 a.m.,
yeah,
how did you manage to not have the police start chasing you?
At one part, that next to our building, there is a local municipal police department. No one was bothered.
That's surprising, because especially that time of day in Vegas, if you're running, the assumption is you're running from something.
I think the colorful outfit probably gave the game away rather than jeans and a t-shirt.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Colorful outfit. That normally gives the game away. Yeah. But no, we had a good week, a busy week as always. But yeah, back again now. I bought some things again, Americans. What are you doing with sweets? I do my usual thing. Have you know those sweets that come in the cardboard boxes?
Mm-hmm.
I go into CVS or
like
I go
See's
into a
candy. Yeah.
The cardboard boxes of sweets, and I go to CVS, grab whatever one we got nearby, and yeah. I just grab one of nearly everything and put them in my bag and then take them home for everybody. I've avoided hot tamales after discovering what they were. The ones that are all cinnamon, because that's evil. Then I saw red vines and I thought, I know what they are. We have them at home and they're tasty.
Yeah.
And then I got them, and you managed to get them wrong as well.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's high fructose corn syrup. That's funny.
Yeah, lots and lots of chemical flavorings.
Yes. Yeah, well, that too, yeah.
Yeah, and the base, I actually saw a documentary about this, because that's a sort of thing that happens here in the U.S. It's actually made out of flour. That's the base. So they make a dough, a flour-based dough, with high fructose corn syrup and the food coloring and the artificial flavors. And then it gets extruded to make the shape.
I guess it has
and just
to be,
chop,
yeah.
chop. And of course it's baked also, because
flour.
It's not raw flour.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what do they do to turn flour into rubbery whatever?
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
See, we have...
No, I watched the documentary and it still didn't make sense.
You still don't
We have red licorice at home and that's just nice. Yeah. That's tasty. Yeah. That's tasty goodness.
That's something you don't get here in Austria.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Now, I do enjoy licorice from Europe because you can really taste the anise, and I do like that.
Yeah.
Licorice in the United States is horrible. Mostly corn syrup with a little bit of bitterness in it, and it doesn't taste like licorice.
No. It's horrible.
Actually, according to a nice article I found, in the UK we make it with flour. But then licorice root goes in, then molasses. Mm. So natural flavourings in sugar, not.
Mm. Interesting.
Not filth, clearly.
Interesting.
Not high fructose corn syrup, because that's the thing that was getting a lot of my colleagues having tasted the wonders of American Coke and going, oh my God, that's so much sweeter than we get at home.
Yeah, and it tastes so much worse.
What the hell is in that?
Tip, get the Mexican Coke if you can.
Get the Mexican Coke.
Oh, yes. Not about that before.
If you want to really confuse your British and EU colleagues, hand them a piece of bread that's made in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Commercially made bread.
Oh, my God.
It's like eating sugar.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Yeah, we had some at breakfast one morning.
It's like...
because we
puffed up sugar, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's bizarre stuff. And butter as well. We don't know what you've done to that, but you've not worked that one out either. Mm. We have because I'm part of the organisation group, we had our own dining room separate from the rest of the, and they sort of cycle through different kinds of American breakfasts and sausage and bacon and all the other things, and then there was other stuff. And then there was one day there was bread. I thought, oh, excellent, toast. My dear God, what was that stuff? And but I had the brioche, which was fine, but that's sweet. I'm expecting that to be sweet.
Yeah,
but
brioche is sweet. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I wasn't expecting the other stuff to not be to be savoury. Oh dear, oh dear.
Yeah, this is one of the benefits of making my own bread. I mean, most commercial breads in the United States have dairy in them.
Which is also strange, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just make my own bread because I don't want to pay $8 for a loaf of bread.
That sucks.
And
$8.
Yeah, like a really good like artisanal like sourdough bread is like $8 to $10 in the US. Yeah.
Yeah, and
depending on where you are, probably
to avoid the dairy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Sometimes I can pick up a nice loaf for like $7.50.
Yeah. If you have an Italian bakery, that's sometimes also like a little tip. Like they have, if they're like, sometimes you will find little American bakeries or like a restaurant that sells their bread or whatever. And they usually, because they're sticking to their European recipes, will also not add dairy.
Yeah. So but the benefit of my bread, it doesn't cost nearly as much. It tastes better.
Fraction.
It's not like eating candy, and it doesn't have dairy in it.
Yes, and you can know exactly what's in it.
Yeah, and sourdough is very, very straightforward to make. There's hardly any ingredients in it, is there?
Yeah,
there's nothing in it.
I mean, like a proper bread has kind of 1, 2, 3, 4 ingredients.
Mm.
You have the flour, of course. You have water. Yeah. You have a little bit of salt, and you have the sourdough, or the yeast, if you want to do it with yeast or sourdough, if that depends. Some leavener, and that's it. You don't need anything else. You can add spices and whatever. Like there's like certain spices you can add if you want that flavor, but you really don't need anything else. Flour, water, salt, yeast. Sometimes depends on your flour a little bit, and on the bread you're making a little bit sugar will be for yeast. You will add a little sugar. But a tiny, tiny little bit, and that just gets eaten by the yeast, and you don't even taste it. But depends on the bread again. Like it's not everything.
That's how one of my friends makes bread, and you wouldn't believe he was a bread maker to look at me. He's a big, roughy, tufty roadman who spends most of his time with hammers and big spanners and stuff.
Yeah.
But he over lockdown, he got bored, and him and his dad started cooking bread for the hell of just trying something to do.
Yeah.
And he learned how to make sourdough, and he makes the most amazing breads now. And
it's not hard.
And he said he can't go back now. I can't go back. No. Like, I can't go back now. It's
same.
Too good to make it
same.
Myself.
I barely buy bread anymore. Like, it's mostly every now and then when I'm like really in a rush, or when I want to support like a local bakery, or whatever, I'll buy something. Or when I'm in London, there's a really good sourdough bakery. Like, really good, proper. I nerded out for like 2 hours with the baker, like, about it. Like, it was really good. I actually took a loaf home. So that's how good it was. So there's good places, but like, and I will support them. But yeah, really easy.
Yeah. All right, so one thing about bread that took me a little bit to wrap my brain around when I was in the UK was like going into a bakery, buying half a loaf of bread, and it's just sitting out there.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
You can't do that here.
No, because it would dry out immediately.
It would be yes. so dry yeah. so fast yeah. because
yeah.
I live in a high altitude desert.
Yeah, but well, it has very little to do with the desert. It's the way the bread is baked, usually in like either wood-fired oven or whatever, the way it is baked, the crust actually, because it has a thick crust, the crust actually protects the bread. I mean, over time, it will also dry out and whatever, but the crust actually protects the bread.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well,
a lot of my colleagues
are learning new things. I'm
yeah.
new
I mean, think about it. The air in an oven is usually much drier than the air even in Colorado is. The altitude does play a little role, but like in desert, like in Phoenix, you could leave the bread outside, not a problem. Huh. It's just how it's baked. It's just that thick crust, that's really crunchy, thick crust. It does protect it because that is dry, and then the moisture stays inside for a while. I mean, as I said, over time, doesn't work, but for a little while, a couple, like half a week or something minimum.
Oh man, can't do that here.
Yeah.
All right, Ian, here's another thing that, that US people will freak out about. You go into a shop and they're selling eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just out.
And they're out, yes.
Just wait on the side. Yeah, wait for you to collect.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yes. Well, people if you're doing it like in Europe,
Yes. That's fair. Here in the US, if you get eggs and they're not refrigerated, people will be like, I can't eat that.
Yeah. And in the US, you can't.
Why?
Because in the US, the eggs are washed, and that washes away the protective coating of the egg, and then bacteria and whatever will get in. In Europe, they don't get washed. They get brushed, but not washed, so the protection stays there, so they last, like, weeks. I have, like, in my cupboard, like, I buy usually 20 or 30 of them, like, about 3 boxes, and they're, like, there for, like, 4 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a problem outside. They don't go bad, nothing. Like, they're perfectly fine. But that's because, I mean, the eggs are made for that. They're made to be outside, right? That's usually...
That's what it's designed. That's what the shell is for.
That's what the shell is for. But as I said, like, it's just how they're treated. So if the US were to treat the eggs the same way, or if you, like, if you know, like, if you pick them from, like, from a farm directly, like, from the hens, then you can leave them outside. It's not a problem. You don't have to put them in the fridge.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I have enjoyed having access to chickens.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
Being able to freshest. Take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's a day where I'm babysitting them and I can't get over to collect eggs, I don't freak out because I know the next day when I get over there, the eggs are still fine.
Still totally fine. Yeah,
and
that's
I wipe them off.
Yeah.
And just leave them on my counter.
Yeah, it's totally fine. It's just don't wash them. Like, you can wipe them off, you can brush them off. It's all fine. Just don't wash them, because the washing is what makes that happen. It makes, I mean, there's some logic to, okay, we should wash it. Like, from one side, you can say, well, it is cleaner. Like, right, the egg surface is now clean. Yes, because you washed
it. You're licking the shell, though, are you? Christ knows.
Yeah.
Take it straight from the chicken, crack it straight into the bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm...
There is a minor risk of like contamination salmonella. You have to know what you're doing. Minor, absolutely minor. Like when we see it in Europe, it's barely a problem at all. But it is something you have to know. In the US, it still happens because the cleaning and the washing is not always correct, or like it just gets introduced other ways. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah. Said there was a logic to it, somewhat-ish, when we didn't know any better. But it's just stuck that way. Like it's fine. Like either way is okay. It's just different.
Yeah. Also,
definitely.
When they tried to start selling milk in cartons, mm-hmm. just on a shelf stable milk.
Yes.
In the U.S. it totally failed.
Yeah, people couldn't see the milk. They thought it had gone bad or something, right?
Right. It wasn't in a refrigerator, therefore it's not safe to drink.
Yeah, UHD,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Ultra high temperature. Yes. And you can just leave it on the side and it's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it tastes like crap, but yes.
Yeah, it does that. But it's what you get in those little containers when you get your airline cup of tea.
Horrible. I mean, Jeff can't really participate in that.
No, I can't relate to this at all because, dairy allergy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's like, things are just different.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. It's always fun. New things you find when you're there.
Yeah.
On the positive side, I still like Old Vegas better than you. I still think if I go there, Fremont Street is far more fun. I tried White Castle. On speaking of food, is another thing to kind of, well, what's that all about? My colleague wanted to try it because he keeps hearing the name in foot and meh. But I've done it now. The little sliders.
I was going to say you got that out of your system, but actually you got it into your system.
That was how I looked at it. Yeah. Eventually did come out of my system happily, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Fremont Experience, I do like that.
And, it's better. That's more fun, I feel.
I like that they covered it so that it's a little more protected. And on those rare times when you're there where there might be rain, or I've actually been snowed on in Vegas once.
Oh,
wow.
Time of year, I guess.
Yeah.
It was quite warm. Last year was bitter. It was cold, much colder.
Did you get an opportunity to go to the Neon Museum?
No, I still haven't. It's on my list, though. Someone tells me they're buying the signs back from him to reuse down Fremont.
Oh, that's on one hand cool, and on the other hand disappointing, because having a museum that's actually caring for the signs.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's much better.
The cowboy's got that. They got the cowboy from there, apparently. That classic cowboy, the classic cowboy one came from there. That's how I was told.
Yeah.
The gangster museum is what I want to try and get to, but we just didn't have time this time around. It looked like a museum. It would be amusing.
The gangster museum. Isn't that Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, that's a living museum.
It's a smaller version.
Nobody said they had to be dead. It's just a museum of gangsters, like really old gangsters.
True.
Jeff, I heard exciting news today. Maybe it was known. The Sundance Festival is coming to Boulder.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, next year. From next year on, I heard today. I was like, cool.
That was big news when it was announced that Boulder was one of the cities in the running. Mm-hmm. And then when it was news that they were one of the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was announced that, it's actually going to be Boulder.
Yeah, I just heard it on Apple News today, and I was like, oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. So, but Boulder does have a very active film community already.
Yeah, and makes sense.
And Boulder has had its own film festival for a very long time, which is super cool. And it's like spread out across multiple venues.
Yeah.
Across the city, and I love that one of the venues was a church across the street from where I lived.
Aww.
And so I would periodically get tickets for a show that was going to be there, and just walk out my door, across the street, and in.
So I expect you to report from the Sundance Festival from now on.
Yeah.
Every year.
Okay. I will do what I can to make that happen.
Yeah. We need a press pass for TIFF. I don't know who knows someone at Sundance, but we need a press pass for TIFF.
That would be super yeah. cool.
By the way, if someone knows someone at the Vienna Film Festival, let me know.
Oh, yeah, we need reports from you.
Yes. There's the Vienna Film Festival. It's a really nice place. It's right in front of the City Hall, which is a beautiful building. Like you've seen pictures from a Christmas market, I think, a couple of times, and it's yes. really beautiful. That is where the Vienna Film Festival is.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, this show and all the others on the British Tech Network are sponsored
done
by
for today.
Odd Technologies.
Yes.
Oh wait, we should probably do some news before I get into that.
Nah. Why?
Yeah.
Do we have to? It's so depressing.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Since I started talking about Odd Technologies, let's do it. Then we'll talk about the live chat later.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Odd Technologies is our sponsor. And yes, we just had an intro chit chat that ran so long, it was time to do your sponsor spot.
Not quite, but almost.
Welcome to the British Tech Network, whereas Ewan has said many times, it's like hanging out at the local pub with all your friends, and just chatting about the tech news. And so here we are. Anyhow, Odd Technologies, they're making it possible for us to sit here and have this cultural discussion about food before we even get into the tech news. So, you know, hey, thank you, Odd Technologies. They're making sure we have everything we need for the live stream, all the resources for that, a place for the website to live, place for show files to live so you can watch or listen to shows anytime you want, everything that you need for the show to happen, they're making sure we have it. And we appreciate that because without Odd Technologies support, we really wouldn't be able to do everything we do. So thank you for that. And the way you can show your support, have your business use Odd Technologies for your remote site monitoring needs. Like, let's say you're doing a construction project. They have the cameras and stuff so that you can be monitoring your site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're doing railroad stuff, they specialize in that. So hit them up, use them, and show your appreciation. You can find their website at awetechnologies.co.uk. That's awetechnologies.co.uk. Hey, thank you, Odd Technologies, for being our sponsor. Look at us mixing it all up with the way we do things. All right, so let's do a little bit of news while we're here.
Yes.
And it looks like our first news story is from you, Patrice.
Yeah, it's actually two stories, but it's two stories kind of serving the same purpose, to talk about ads. Because there's two big services in the last week that announced that they're, to surprise of exactly no one, are gonna start showing ads. One of them is Threads. They have about 400 million users. They actually surpassed X recently in most active users, I think, or something like that. There was something about that. It's something that they're bigger than X now, which not a surprise because they're basically integrating with Instagram, which is I think the biggest platform on the planet right now. Probably maybe TikTok, who knows? Side story. Threads is gonna start showing ads to their 400 million users. The usual thing, like targeted ads, personalized, all of that you will simply get. And the other one. I think another service a lot of people are using is ChatGPT. So ChatGPT will start not on all plans, but on the free and on the newly introduced Go plan, which is like $8, mm-hmm. I think, something like that a month, will start like showing, or is probably already showing. I think they started doing it last Friday or tomorrow. No, tomorrow is this week, yeah. Yeah, it's this week. They're going to start showing ads. So Pro, Plus, Business, Enterprise will not be getting ads. OpenAI also says they're gonna keep the what did they say? The integrity of the the answer independence. Okay, that's what they called it. They will keep that. But they will show at the bottom, basically, of the chat window, there will be ads. They will be, of course, based on what you're talking about. So targeted, makes sense. Which also means the advertisers will know what you're asking for. Think about that. So, yeah, we'll see. They're saying they're doing that to keep the free tier free, but we all know it's basically to increase shareholder value, like they say, and just make more money. Simple as that.
More money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Dr. O sat there laughing away merrily in the corner going, yeah, you did it again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, someone has to pay for the free plan, and it's probably okay or it's fair to do that. Like, I mean, you could do the what others have done, the kind of freemium model where, like, the free tier is free and the business the other tiers pay for it basically. Like, I think Dropbox, like I remember even back in the day, Dropbox was doing that. It had like I don't know 98% free and 2% paid, but the paid users paid for the free users. That's how it was. But yeah, they're showing that. They will not serve ads to users that they believe are under age of 18. However they determine that. That's another question.
That in and of itself actually sounds really disturbing. Like they have algorithms that they're using to age bracket us.
Oh. That is not a surprise. That is not even a surprise. Think about how much information you give to whatever chat system you're using. It's a lot. The things you ask and the way you ask it and what you ask about and where you ask about, like location-wise, even if you never tell it specifically where you are, you might ask about whatever restaurants in Vienna, and it will eventually figure out, well, you're probably in Vienna. Like stuff like that. It's just like, I mean, it's not any different than your like search engine was back in the day. You give it a lot of information just by using it, by the very things that you look for. And it's the same thing here. Yeah, of course they're age bracketing you, because if you're, I don't know, I have bad examples. I don't know, if you're constantly looking for, I don't know, some children's books, then and nothing else. Like, it's not, oh, you might be a parent because you're also looking up other things and you're maybe a parent. No, like if you're really a kid and you're using, I mean, I don't know why you would be doing that, but let's say that's the case, it will probably eventually guess, okay, you're maybe 6 or 7 or something. Which you should not be using it because it's against the terms of service, but that's a whole other story.
I'm assuming my algorithms are all messed up because I'm searching for fountain pens and then Lego.
Yeah, no. That fits the target demographic perfectly.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. They know exactly who I am.
Yeah, you would have to go crazier than that to confuse it, really.
I mean, if you want to opt into this kind of privacy invasion, you could also go to Gemini and use their personal intelligence service.
Yes, you could. You could and also just use Facebook for anything.
Yeah. And you can sell your soul to the devil properly, you know, fully, and hope for some redemption in the afterlife or whatever. It's mad. I am seriously, seriously unhappy with the amount of invasion of my privacy. I mean, I started to think I was wearing a tin foil hat and I was getting a bit over paranoid about this stuff, but I'm not sure I am anymore.
Yeah.
I feel probably that there is a line, and every service now is stepping across that line in terms of what they want to suck from me in terms of information, how they're then going to sell it to me, send it back to me in the form of adverts. I don't want that. I never asked for that. It's like my operating system. I don't want that to have ads in it because I can't see why, because I didn't ask for that. I paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of Windows, particularly these days.
Yeah. But to see, that's the thing. Like, it is a really, really difficult, it's a really difficult place we're in, right? I mean, OpenAI's case and OpenAI's case, I would say, kind of obvious. Okay, they're pretending. I mean, they even say, oh, we're only sticking ads in the chat, but to help the world. And Like, the pursuit of advertising is in support of the mission of ADI benefiting all of humanity and all of that crap. But we all know that's not true. In Threat's case, or in other, like a lot of the newspapers and whatever, I can understand it. Because, I mean, the money has to come from somewhere. And people are not willing to pay for a lot of stuff these days. Or they can't. I mean, it's not that the people don't want to. A lot of times they can't simply.
They can't afford.
Yeah, it's and that's
there's no money there anymore.
Yeah, and that is the point. I mean, it's like there was a really good article the other week about or other day about stop complaining about paywalls. And I have to agree with it. I'm like I might not like paywalls, and I might close like articles that I get sent that have a paywall because I don't want to pay for it, but I never complain about it because I understand why newspapers try to do that, because there's only two options. You have a paywall and people pay for it, or you have ads. And ads are, as we know, kind of dirty. They feel dirty. They feel dirty. They might. Ads have actually a good purpose sometimes. Like if it surfaces something that you're interested in, that is really interesting, yeah, it's good. Like, I've had Instagram ads where it's like, actually today I bought something off an Instagram ad because it was interesting, it was good, it was a company locally that was advertising on Instagram. I'm like, hey, cool, I'll buy that. So there's a good purpose of
t-shirts that way.
There is good in ads, but a lot of times ads just the normal ads and the way we get them served and whatever oftentimes just feels dirty.
Oh yeah, they do say in their blurb that OpenAI said will never sell users' data to advertisers, and it will not appear near certain topics, including politics, health, and mental health.
Yeah, they never sell the data, but they still need to send the information to them, so that they can serve that they can serve the right ad to the users. I'm like, yeah.
So they're selling the ad space.
Yes.
And there's some user data that goes along with that.
Yeah,
they're selling the ad space.
Yeah. They're not selling your data. They're just selling the ad space and then showing the ad that is relevant to you in that space.
Yeah, so he's still got a
character exactly.
He wants, he wants to know if he's going mad. Yeah. Let's show him some adverts and pills.
Yeah.
That's what will come. And that's what.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. As I said, in OpenAI's case, I'm not so sure about it. In Meta's case, I mean, as much as I hate Meta as company, in Threads' case, I can understand that, and it was inevitable that would happen. I mean, one, because advertising is the way Meta makes money these days. Still, don't think they have a lot of other business other than selling data and advertisement. As far as I know, at least. But it had to happen. Like it costs money to run Threads. Like I get it. 400 million users posting bullshit all day costs money.
It does. I mean, I get why Threads, Blue Sky, services like that are ad free in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you need to get people into the platform.
Yeah, to even sell ads.
Right. Yeah, at some point you need to support your platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Mastodon, which is open and everyone can use it.
Yeah.
People still are paying for it. It's just happening in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, if this network and this podcast was super, super popular and would also generate more costs on servers and whatever, we would have more ads. It's the only, I mean, or we have a Patreon or something where people can pay it if that works out. But chances are we would have ads because a lot of people don't want to support or can't support things like that. So it's, that's how it is. Like I said, I get it. I understand it. It's a dirty world. It's a world that I wish didn't exist, but that's the reality. It's hard enough in journalism, especially. It's hard enough at all to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So ask any journalist or any writer, like how hard it is these days to even get a job because mostly they're gone.
I, I can tell you all the horror stories.
Yeah, I know. You speak from experience, so.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's like, as I said, but it's said, it's, I'm not saying this is, I mean, as I said, in opening ice case, I'm like, they probably could have worked it out without ads, but they said they wanted to share the value and the money. Despite what they're saying. that I don't believe.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that brings us to the next story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, Ian, how old is the story you're bringing? Because it's about a dig.
It's about 25 years ago. I don't know. 20
it's
something.
Actually back. Kevin Rose and various other folk have brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
They were originally outpaced by Reddit, and Reddit destroyed them, and they kind of went okay and stopped. So Dig, if you didn't know, was a news aggregator, a Web 2.0 news aggregator from way back in the day. But it's back, and the platform looks quite nice. I had a logged in today, and it appears to offer a service similar to Reddit, similar that kind of thing. And you can upvote or dig items, hence where the idea came from, really. Yeah, 2008 was once valued at $175 million.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Before the dot-com bubble went...
Bloop.
And then it all disappeared. But yeah, yes. The guy who originally sort of founded it, a guy called Kevin Rose, and has come back with it. They built a new venture up, and they've got it going. They're hoping the AI sort of systems, this is back-end stuff, is going to help them produce some kind of new wonder kid from the old. So Reddit's back. It looked quite nice when I logged in today. Again, they're going to try out some new technologies in the back rooms, more encryption, things like that, to make it a bit safer. They're going to use signals acquired to help verify. They're going to use signals acquired from mobile devices to verify members.
Mm-hmm.
So you could end up having a meetup. So new beta public launched. So it looks to be open, and you can go and have a look. So dig.com.
I mean, can only get better because Reddit.
Reddit. I pay for Reddit. I still think Reddit's one of the better, for me, one of my preferred sources of social media is still Reddit.
I'm with you on that one, but Reddit. Like, it's the best out of a whole, out of the crap, right? That's what it is. Doesn't
use
mean it's good.
You mean it's like choose your basket, take
exactly.
That kind
yes.
of thing.
Yeah, that
which
kind of thing.
Would you prefer?
Yes. Yeah,
it is that kind of,
yes.
It is a little bit.
Yeah, and the way, I mean, it's the website, the service, but also the people behind it. Like, it's just it's just all of it. But so, hey, I mean, if this is better and it takes off, I mean, hey, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be good to have a new alternative to have a look at. I mean,
Competition is always something. I think
there's room for one. There's room for one more. We all know that. So it should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, design wise, at least look way better.
And they said we're going to keep it being
hard.
Developed as it goes, so it could change next week and look different again.
Yeah, but it's just more
aggressively shipping every week and just new features as we go.
But it's just a more modern design. Like, I mean, for sure they can change it, but it's just overall a more modern design. As I said, the bar is not very high when you look at Reddit. So
I mean, Reddit loads fast, but at the same it's.
And Reddit also has ads, which again I'm fine with. Like, I might not love it, but I'm like, yeah, I get it. I'm like, okay, fine, fine.
So, all right, my funny Reddit story. I got banned from Reddit years ago, and
because you weren't wearing no pants, right? That's why.
Right, and I was in the in the wrong subreddit for no pants. I was going on to the different Apple and Mac related subreddits, and when people would have questions, I'm like, I know stuff and I will help out, and so I would answer people's questions. And one of the mods decided I was doing unauthorized advertising by answering tech questions.
Oh, for God's sake.
And they were like, this mod, they're like, I'm banning you. And I'm banning you from all Reddit, not just these boards. I will ruin your life. Like, seriously, that's what they said.
Oh,
and I'm like, what the hell? and so I was banned from all of Reddit, and I'm like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Good times. Yeah, I'm like, it's one of the few places I'm still spending a little bit of time on. There's some good aviation themed Reddit subreddits. So I'm like,
yeah, when Reddit shows up in one of my searches with information that's useful, okay, great, I'll look at it. But
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, I find Reddit normally more useful than other things. If I'm looking for some niche hobby thing, Reddit's normally there's a group for that niche hobby, and someone else has had that thing
exactly this object. That question.
Yeah, and you can normally find a few people that have commented on it, and you'll get yourself somewhere near where you want. And so I find it very useful for that, and I'll continue to keep. Yeah. It's also quite nice social. I was thinking it's also a reasonable barometer of social sort of attitudes and behaviours. I look at Ask UK and Ask Brits and things.
You mean
how
stupid people really are? Yes.
Yes, kind of a feel for where the world is going. It kind of helps. I quite like it for that. I can watch vicariously from the sidelines.
Yeah. There's a really good Veen subreddit, for example, which is quite active and a lot of people posting. There's interesting stuff sometimes there. So events that are happening or things that are like in the news or whatever. But there's also the. Like, I mean, there's those like Reddit posts where I'm like someone posts, like very frequently I see that it's like someone posts a picture of a flight radar 24 or whatever, flight tracker, some sort of flight tracker app. It's like, oh, what is like, and if there's a plane, whatever, that circled, they're like, oh, why is this plane circling there? And I'm like, that's just a waiting area. Like, okay, it's like, okay. The same question over and over again does not help.
No.
People, like, use your noggins and just think about it for a second.
This is the 21st century. You're not allowed anymore.
Yeah, I know. Brains are optional.
Critical thought analysis is not available.
Yeah. No, you have to pay for that extra.
That's definitely extra.
All right, my pet peeve for Reddit and, well, it applies to Facebook and other places where you have group discussions.
Yes.
The post that starts with delete if not allowed. You know what?
Yes.
Check and see if you can do your post before you do it.
Yeah, either it's clear or you shouldn't post.
Yeah. Just
that goes alongside with my famous thing that you see on reviews of, brilliant, I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why are you filling a reviewing if you don't know it's any good or not? Bang!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you know what is good?
Mm.
Our live chat.
It is.
There's definitely no Reddit posts there.
Nor advertising,
that is true, other than for British Tech Network, but it's our system, so it's
there you go. Hey, Patrice, do you want to tell people about our live chat?
Do I want to? Yes, of course I want to. It's really cool. Like, it's a free system, no advertising, no registration required. We're live streaming there. It's also like what I really love about it. People are like, oh, maybe it should be on YouTube or one of the other streaming platforms. There's a couple others, like, you know, the obvious ones. But I like that it's independent, right? We have it running on our server. It's ours. It's our data. If someone watches it, there's literally, like, we don't collect data. We don't sell data. We don't advertise to you and say, hey, because you like British Tech Network now, we're going to sell you whatever. Like, no, it's none of that. It's literally free and there for you to use. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do to use it is go to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we record. It's actually a Fediverse-based open source platform. It's called Omcast. It's really good. But it's not complicated, right? It's the video's on the left, the chat is on the right, just like on YouTube or in all of the other platforms. And you can watch us live Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time. for this show, right? Big show. And Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So if you're into the Apple ecosystem, or you're interested, or just want to hang out with us, hey, it's like everything goes. Join us there, live.britishtechnetwork.com. And the chat is really cool. It generates really cool names. Let's see, I have Admiring Brahma Gupta, Musing Nightingale, like really funny names it generates. You don't have to stick with them. Ian, for example, changed his to Ian Still on Linux. So hey, good for you. Maybe this year is the year of Linux on a desktop, who knows? Chances are very low for that, but well, you never know. It can happen. Maybe Ian is just the first in many in a long line of people doing that this year. You can just go up top tap on the purple button, click, and why is it purple? Because I love purple. That's the whole reason. Tap on the purple button, click or tap, change name, pick a name that's not taken. Like there's certain names like Jeff and Patrice that are taken, but other than that, you
Ian's
can just
still on Linux. That's taken.
Ian's still on Linux is taken. Yes, but other than that, you can just pick any name you want. So there's no registration, nothing. If you want a transcript of like, if you can't join, you're busy, you're working, you're just not interested. Hey, no judgment. Like we all listen to podcasts on our podcast player of choice, and like it's all that, not a problem. We have all the links, like stuff we talked about, discussions that happen in the chat if there's people in there. All of that is on our website, thepatricia.com. No, British Tech. See, I was already at the end. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. That's where it is. And tap, click, whatever, on the date for the transcript you want to see. And for today's date, that would be January 22nd, 2026. So many 20s. January 2nd, 2026. If you pick that date, it will show you today's transcript, the stories, the cool things, everything. Or pick any date from the past if you're interested. Go back to 2015 and have a look at what bullshit thing we were interested in and thought would be important. And you look back and you're like, oh my god, good times. Like
simpler times.
Yeah, much simpler times. Yeah, good. Just go do that. So that's our live chat.
Awesome. Well, thank you for getting that set up, Patrice, and then telling everyone about it.
You're welcome.
All right, time for some cool things. And Ian, you have a cool thing in here, and I'm very interested in learning about it.
I thought you would be. It's a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from anyone. If anyone's heard of the YouTuber Linus's Tech Tips, they make some gear in this. Some through their shop, they sell screwdrivers because there's a. Just see where we're going here, and then they had a problem. They grated a load of shafts that were the wrong size. So as it says,
so they got shafted.
When life gives you exactly. So in this picture, when life gives you the shaft, they repurpose them into bolt action pens. So it takes a standard Parker refill, and it's got a little bolt action with a nice firm spring. It's very nicely made, very well machined, nice little knurled bit. I guess that's a bit left over from the screwdriver, but that's really great. And a nice little pen, get that in so it's in focus, nice little pen clip on the top. I changed the refill that came in it for a rollable one from the, and it's really great. I'm very impressed.
There's usually no leftover bits from a screwdriver. Because I usually drink them.
Scribe
driver. This guy's called the scribe driver.
The scribe driver. Okay. Hey, that should be a drink. The scribe driver.
That's brilliant, though. But our shafts are all the wrong size.
Oh my god! Show title.
Yeah.
And I'll also throw in a bonus cool thing I saw today. There is a Masters of the Universe trailer out. It calls it a teaser trailer, but that's being generous. There's not much teasing going on.
I did watch that earlier this morning.
And it looks fun. But it's not really teasing, is it? I think I've seen most of the plot of the movie already.
Well, I mean, it's He-Man and Masters of the Universe. We kind of know the plot.
By the power of Grayskull.
Yeah. Yeah, Skeletor wants to take over. He-Man has to stop him, and he has his friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks fun. I'll be honest. It looks quite a bit of fun. I shall happily go along to the cinema and spend some money watching that. I can see it coming.
I'm sure it will be a fun afternoon diversion, which is exactly what that kind of movie is supposed to be.
Yes.
Yes. Leave your brain at home. Go and enjoy a couple hours of nonsense. So I will drop that in the chat as a bonus call thing. Go see that film in the summer.
Awesome.
There's a lot of good movies like out there right now. Yeah, I just watched what's it called? A small Accident, I think. It's an Iranian, French produced but Iranian movie, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. If you can watch it.
Cool.
Oh, did I put in my cool thing? No, I did not. I did not hit enter. So it is a book. This time I have so many books. I've read a lot of or listened to a lot of books over Christmas. This one, I think it's a couple of years old, I want to say. Let me see. There's a release date somewhere here. 2022. Yeah, so about 4 years old now, almost. It is from Viola Davis. And it is Finding Me. And it is, one, it is right now on Libro FM on sale. Like for me, it's showing at €6, €6.50. So 82% discount. Actually, no, never mind. €4.60 is the I see here. So it's even cheaper. 82% if you want it. But it's
76% discount in the US.
Wow. Okay. So it is the so either way, it is right now on sale, and it is really. Okay. If you're like, if you're sensitive to, I don't know, violence, like if in a family, all of that, don't read it. It's very graphic at places. She talks about her life. Like, I mean, and you all, like, people always think it was like, oh, she's like a successful actor and all of that, and she made it and all of that. And just expect, oh, like, everything is sunshine and roses, which she addresses actually in the book. But where she comes from, that was a rough childhood. Like, I mean, she got taken to the side in school, to the school nurse, and basically told that she was reeking of urine because she slept in urine most of the time because they couldn't go to bed to the bathroom at night because of all the rats and stuff like that. So she had a rough upbringing. It deals also with a lot of like race, especially like racism. Like, I mean, in the 70s, I think, like stuff like that. It is very. It felt very real. It's like she does not mince words. Like it's very brilliantly written, but she does not hold back. Like all the shit she had to go through, all the stuff she had to do to get where she is, and the also luck that she had here and there, to make that happen. But also like mostly the really really hard work that she had to put in to get there, and the doubts she had and all of that. Like and she talks about what I really liked was. She addresses towards the end, like, this whole topic of the successful, like, social media or whatever news, like, actors that have made it. And she's like, that is not the reality for 99%-something of actors. 99% of actors are happy if they make $250 a week for, like, a small role somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality, and that's tough. Do you live in shitholes and you just do whatever you have to do to make it happen or not? Like and like she talks about it. It's just a really good book. So it's very well done. It's about nine hours and 15 minutes. It's not the longest, not the shortest. Like it's a good book. So go listen to it. It's read by her. So that's like why I love books like that, where the author also reads it. It's her story. Yeah, she talks about a lot of it. It's just like if you're like child abuse, all of that, like if you're sensitive, yeah, don't do that. It is really not pretty. Like I was shocked at points.
cool. All right. And I'm going to bring us down from highbrow intellectual life stories.
Two?
But I'm going to bring you good story.
Okay, I'll take good story.
Okay, so there is a trailer out now for a new Star Wars series that is coming, I think, in April. And it's Star Wars Maul, Shadow Lord. And I bring this today because it just, the trailer for it dropped this morning, U.S. time.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, the best TV series Star Wars stories, we have the Clone Wars and the associated shows that go with that, like Bad Batch. And then we also have Andor. So now we're getting Star Wars Maul, who was a very prominent character in
owner,
Clone Wars.
Owner of a shopping mall? No.
Yes. 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 Star Wars Mall Cop.
Oh, that would be funny, yeah. Actually. I might watch that.
Yeah, I kind of would too. Yeah. So, but yeah, Maul was an important character in Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, getting this story that goes deeper into the whole Maul thing after the fall of the Galactic Empire, the Galactic Republic, Rise of the Empire. There you go.
Jeff, maybe you should adopt the German way of pronouncing that name. Maul.
Maul?
Maul.
Okay.
Darth Maul. I don't know.
Darth Maul.
Yeah, Maul. It's not that you cannot confuse with Maul. Like, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Darth Maul.
So anyhow, there you go. New series coming out. The trailer looks good. This is Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels. All of these shows, animated shows, were pitched initially as shows for kids, which is kind of a thing you had to do to get animated shows greenlit. I don't think that they're pitching this as a kids show at all. And just based on the trailer, things that you see happening in that. Not a kid's show. This Maul is for grown-ups.
I love it.
Yeah. So, anyhow, there you go. Trailer's out. You decide your own pronunciation.
Yeah. Don't watch it in German because the trailer will probably have a lot of spoilers in German.
Right? I would assume so.
It's just Germans.
It's their special way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. All right, so.
What was it about? Watergate? No.
Yes, that's exactly what it was about. Yeah. I guess the Germans really don't get the concept of spoilers.
Nope. Spoilers and humor are just not part. It's like, you know, the German flag has three colors, and like, black stands for work, and red stands for work, and gold stands for work. There's no humor in there.
Work, work, work.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, it's time for us to wrap up. Now that we've learned everything we need to know about the German flag.
Yes. By the way, that was I didn't invent that. That was someone else.
But
it's true.
For the rest of my life.
But it's true.
Yeah, for the rest of my life, when someone says, "Hey Jeff, do you know the meaning of the German flag?" And I'll be like, "Why? Yes, I do.
Work,
Patrice
work, work.
Told me. Work, work, work." Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
Okay, now I can talk about this very show and all the other shows that I'm on. So I'm on the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays on this very network with Jeff, some other miscreants on Friday. Everything I'm doing on the website I already mentioned, thepatrice.com, the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, and the occasional blog posts. And I just posted one about my first impressions of Star Trek Starfleet Academy. The good, the bad, what I'm hoping for, and we'll see what happens. So if you want to read that, it's on my website as well. And yeah, Jeff and I, we do Retro Rewatch together. Like, we already showed the mug. It's the best mug in the planet.
Yes. Oh, look, I have one too.
Yeah, yeah. And,
in the dishwasher today.
Not in the dishwasher. We do review retro TV shows and then talk about it. And Jeff usually forgets what order things happened in. That's usually how it goes. We just wrapped up Stargate SG-1 Season 3. So with the Nemesis season cliffhanger. And tomorrow we'll talk about, like, we'll do a season recap and see, like, what in hindsight held up, what happened, what we thought about the episodes, like, in the bigger context, and Jeff's predictions. Like, did they hold up or not? I'll talk about that. So that's coming up.
Yeah.
And then we'll go and watch some other shows, I can tell you that. We had mm-hmm. two other shows that I introduced Jeff to, and it was really fun. So that's coming up the next couple of weeks. Well, you already know, because we've already recorded that. Yes. So that's the next couple of weeks for you on Retro Rewatch.
Awesome. Okay. And Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Ian Grant, and I work for Veeam. You'll find me there. Otherwise, I can be found in our Slack room and here on a Thursday, and maybe on Dig. Probably the DOA, BOA. I have a look at that format and see if it's and get annoyed with it and not bother doing any more with it. But there we are. So those will be the places you can find me usually.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, mostly right now on Mastodon and Pixel Fed and Blue Sky. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show and the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch, and Patrice is not exaggerating when she says that I often get what happens in the shows in the wrong order.
That is an understatement. Like, you're understating it when you say often. You almost always get the order of things wrong.
I have all the parts. Just my problem is apparently linear time.
Yes, yes. I think so.
Yeah, and I do have a notebook sitting around here that proclaims that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I would show it, except I'm not sure exactly what it's sitting around. Anyhow, so I guess that's a long-winded way of saying it's easy to find all of us online.
Yep.
So with that, Patrice, Ian, this has been so much fun. It's been an absolute delight to hang out together today for the Big Show. So thank you just for being the awesome people that you are. And hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you to all of you for being here. I'm so glad you're part of this. And speaking of being happy about people being part of this, all of you that watch and listen to the show recordings later, thank you for being here too. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And let's see, I'm going to do a quick unplanned shout out. Patrice, Muller, Crikey, the three of you for my birthday recorded wonderful videos. So thank you to the three of you for those. Just absolute delight. Okay. Odd Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. Go check them out. Use them. Okay. And with that, don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show. And then tune in again next Thursday for the Big Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.